fighting for America.
Republicans should stop holding our Homeland Security hostage.
The president needs to listen to the American people and say, yes, let's build the Keystone Pipeline.
Fighting for Idaho.
What we are teaching young people right now is if you love someone, beat the heck out of them. If you love someone, choke them, whip them, torture them.
Fighting for you.
Brian Williams. It's almost as if the libs are reluctantly carrying the water on this story.
Well, what are you talking about? He cured cancer and landed on the moon.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
How can you criticize somebody that did these things?
Right.
Winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning. Thank you all for joining us. Welcome to Tuesday. I was talking to somebody the other day, actually today, and I said, well, hey, it's time to get up and start the day together. Why? It's Sunday. To me, it just seems like kind of a sleepy day here. We are talking about whether or not we're going to raise the gasoline tax here in the state of Idaho. We'll take your calls on that. 8 cents for gasoline, 12 cents for diesel. It's all to fix the roads, right? Well, before we get to that, our friend, our brother, a great American, Jeff Manasso, joining us from Fox News Radio. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I think we should bring back the USFL or some type of spring football.
Yeah, man, I wouldn't be against that.
I mean, you know, little Birmingham Stallions, New Jersey Generals, Arizona Wranglers.
Oh, man. Hey, I'm already going through withdrawals myself.
It is a tough gig when you think about just life without football, and there's, like, nothing on. Anyway, I could go on and on about that. Apparently, Jeff, there are a lot of teens that are sleepy these days.
Well, there's a new study out by the University of Michigan that says that, essentially, that more than half of American teens ages 15 and older lack even 7 hours of sleep per night. And this study involves nearly 300,000 teens over the last 2.5 decades, finds that the sleeping patterns for teens have gotten worse. The biggest drop among 15-year-olds, just over half the kids that age, 15 years old, reported at least 7 hours of sleep back in 1991. That versus less than 43% today. And researchers blame a couple of different things: social media, smartphones, other electronics devices, and even the rising rates of obesity, along with early school start times. I'm not sure how much I buy into the early school start times. I think if you get enough sleep, the early school start times probably wouldn't be a problem. I think kids have been going to school in the 6 and 7 o'clock hour for generations, but what they haven't been doing is staring at their cell phones and texting and chatting and Facebooking and you name it. It's becoming a real problem.
Well, it's crazy though when you think about how we're overstimulated, and it's almost impossible, I would think, to be able to get some sleep when you have your iPhone, your tablet, your Facebook, your Instagram, and just the exchange of information is so instantaneous.
Yeah, it is. It's really hard to shut down. I mean, the idea when you go into your room at night and you lay down, the idea is to shut down, to relax, to go to sleep. And when you've got your smartphone or whatever device is next to you and it's going off and ringing, and now I've got a new text from this person who says, oh my God, did you hear about that person? And then, so then you get into this long, you know, text chat. Or look, man, I'm guilty of it. I know you are too. Going to bed, and right before you go to bed, you look at the breaking news or whatever's going on, and right, you read up, and then you get caught into something else. And before you know it, 20 minutes has gone by. And you've been staring at your cell phone. I think the big takeaway from this study, Kevin, is that there's a problem, and we're changing, we're evolving based on the availability of this instant information and these devices that has just there's just so much coming at us, and for a teenager, by the way, they recommend that the researchers recommend that teenagers get 9 to 10 hours of sleep. For a teenager, there's so much coming at them, and by the time they shut down at night, it's probably due to exhaustion. They're just staring at their phones and their devices until they just can't do it anymore. And the ramifications is, you know, are that the next day They're just dog tired.
Well, and the crazy part about this is it leads to more anxiety, perhaps more medication. But even if you're, you know, Jeff, I used to, and I still sleep with a radio next to me. I love having a radio, even though, you know, people love the electronic devices and they listen to the radio on their phones and such. To me, there's something about a radio, but start getting it, playing with your phone or your tablet, and hey, you can watch a movie, you can watch a short video, and then there's another video, and before you know it, it's like 3 hours later.
I know. You have a radio, you have an alarm clock, you know, all that?
You're so
1990s.
I am. I have my alarm clock. I get up and hit it every morning.
I'm just kidding. but see, that's how we're evolving. We're changing, and these devices that we use, they're changing our behavior. I mean, look, you've been to a restaurant, and you've seen a family of four, nice family sitting around a table, and none of them are talking to each other. They're staring at their phones. We're evolving. And again, I think the big takeaway is that, you know, there perhaps is a problem, and that we should at least recognize that, in some cases, these devices are controlling our behavior, and we just have to recognize it and shut it down. You know, we've come a long way from the day where we had one phone in the house. It was in the kitchen with a 30-foot cord.
And the rotary phone, yeah. Rotary dial. Yeah. Well, Jeff Manasseh, we could go on and on about this, right?
Mm-hmm. We could.
Anyway, we appreciate it, brother. What was your favorite USFL team? Did you have one?
No, I didn't.
Man.
I didn't.
Man, I love that league.
Yeah.
Well, maybe some other time.
Yeah.
Jeff, thank you.
Thanks, man.
Our friend Jeff Manasseh. You know, how big an influence is football in our lives? I mean, we're going through the withdrawals and everything, and people are talking about the combine, watching a bunch of dudes run around in shorts and a T-shirt. Is that really that exciting? Probably not. Anyway, for our friends on the constitutional law scale, and we have a lot of people here at the old Kevin Miller Show, the Miller Militia. We have our friend Tom Munns, who always, you know, is our constitutional scholar. We have Chris Troupas, a great attorney, Alan L. Morton, a great attorney. We have a lot of you that call in and quote constitutional law to me. And it's usually between states' rights, and it's usually between the federalism, the supremacy clause. Which is superior? Well, we have a clip. That's right. We have a clip from Alabama Supreme Court Justice, Chief Justice, Roy Moore, who is the topic of several debates going on around the country and around the world, because he said no to the federal government. In fact, on one of the shows, I believe it was this week with George Stephanopoulos, you had an attorney on saying he's not going to listen to Judge Roy Moore. But it does give us time and pause to take a look at this debate. At 580-5436, 580-KIDO, do states have a right, in this case, gay marriage, to say no to the federal government?
Tell President Obama that he's entirely correct. Federal law does trump state law. But what this Harvard professor, who is president of the United States, does not understand is that a trial court's decision on the constitutionality of a federal question is just that. It's an opinion. It may be law of the case before her. It is not overturning the Alabama Constitution. It's not made by judges. That's something very basic, something Speaker Boehner has just referred to about the constitutional violations of this president and the Supreme Court. We are seeing this. Those interpretations are not law. If they were, then the legislature would have no role. Legislators are to make law. Congress is to make law. The United States Supreme Court Constitution is law. So is the Alabama Constitution. We have a fundamental misunderstanding in our country that federal courts, by their mere utterance, make law. They do not make law, sir. They make law of the case applicable to the parties before them.
There you have it. So apparently the federal judges don't know what they're talking about, and Judge Roy Moore does. Now, by the way, how does this impact Idaho? Well, the whole issue of gay marriage, which we thought had been decided, could be decided, will be decided, when will be decided, is now a topic for an Idaho lawmaker. He's upset with federal judges who have overturned same-sex marriage bans across the nation. is proposing that Congress impeach judges who fail to uphold the U.S. Constitution. Now, this is a guy right out of the Miller Militia here. Paul Shepard of Riggins introducing the non-binding resolution Monday in the Idaho House State Affairs Committee. The committee voted to introduce the resolution. The four Democrats, they were opposed. Basically, Shepard says, you notice how the narrative of these stories are, by the way, where we, you know, overturned same-sex marriage bans. That wasn't, when you voted, you know, if you were here for the Idaho Constitution, it wasn't a ban you voted for. It was in defense of marriage. It was called the Defense of Marriage Act, right? It wasn't a move to ban it. So shouldn't they word it differently? Of course, this is why we don't have critical thinking skills and no one questions the integrity or the validity or the objectivity of our writers today, of our journalists today. Shepard said that federal judges have advocated against the intent of the U.S. Constitution, focusing primarily on the multiple rulings that gay marriage bans are illegal. Idaho's marriage ban, I thought it was called Defense of Marriage Act, by the way. You know, it's funny again, and people say, well, Kevin, how did we lose the cultural war? Let me tell you how we lost the cultural war. You have the journalists, you have the entertainers, you have the influence makers, the opinion leaders, the decision makers who decided that they, in turn, were going to influence how the public thought. And we see that now, do we not? By Idaho's gay marriage ban, it was the Defense of Marriage Act, right? See the difference? Defense of Marriage Act, gay marriage ban. One is positive, one is negative. It's kind of like being pro-life, where they say you're not pro-life, you're anti-abortion. Shepard's resolution originally said judges should be impeached if they make changes to the law. However, several committee members countered that the language was too broad and amended it. So here we have Judge Roy Moore in Alabama basically saying, hey, the feds don't make the law, we make the law, and the feds have no authority over us. Let's hear this one more time. Do we have this, Sweet William?
I'd like to tell President Obama that he's entirely correct. Federal law does trump state law. But what this Harvard professor, who is president of the United States, does not understand is that a trial court's decision on the constitutionality of a federal question is just that. It's an opinion. It may be law of the case before her. It is not overturning the Alabama Constitution. It's not made by judges. That's something very basic, something Speaker Boehner has just referred to about the constitutional violations of this president and the Supreme Court. We are seeing this. Those interpretations are not law. If they were, then the legislature would have no role. Legislators are to make law. Congress is to make law. The United States Supreme Court Constitution is law. So is the Alabama Constitution. We have a fundamental misunderstanding in our country that federal courts, by their mere utterance, make law. They do not make law, sir. They make law of the case applicable to the parties before them.
No, it kind of reminds me of Tom Munns talking about the Supreme Court doesn't make law. But we see this with the administration, and once you have a lower court ruling, they say, well, that's the law. No, it isn't. It should go to the Supreme Court, right? Exactly. The Supreme Court. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It is 818. Let's get you to work safely.
Good morning, Kevin. I listen to you every morning. Everything's going to be okay, regardless of who's leading this country. This is in God's hands.
Good morning to you. I agree with you 100%.
It says food for your brain. Well, how about let's feed some brains this morning?
Food for your brain. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. So we have Judge Roy Moore calling everybody out. We have a possible gas tax hike. Diesel, 12 cents a gallon. Gasoline, 8 cents a gallon. Tea Party Bob, the Gem State Patriot.
Boy, you got my blood boiling this morning, Kevin. I can't tell you how upset I am about what's going on in that legislature. I've been saying for the past 2 years, our legislators are not conservative. And every day they're in session, they prove it more and more to me. We've got scandals with the CCA, with the IAN. Nobody pays any attention to them in the media. There's no transparency and absolutely no accountability in our state government for what's going on. Multi-million-dollar problems in the internet, and nobody's being held accountable. What in the heck is going on down there? You know, how about fixing the contract process and getting rid of the cronyism that runs rampant in the government? You know, now we're looking at an 8 cent per gallon gas tax increase just for gasoline, 12 cents for diesel, and they have the audacity to say they're going to increase it by 1 cent a year for inflation. How about we do some auditing of the fixing of the roads and find out whether we're even getting our money's worth when these people go out there and fix them? It appears to me that the legislators are waging a war on the middle and lower class citizens of Idaho. They don't realize how regressive this tax is and how much it's going to hurt the lower and middle income families. An 8% increase is going to bring the tax to 33 cents per gallon, almost double what the federal tax is. And nobody seems to care. And we are going to get a federal tax. That's coming down the pike. That's going to be 12 to 14 more cents. You know, I wrote about this last year when I talked about the governor, and he spoke to the road contractors about fixing the roads and how bad they were. The only thing he cared about was, hey, getting me elected is the most important thing. Does everybody remember that? Just more cronyism. The governor said this state, in a state of the state message, that he's going to cut the property tax for businesses, cut the highest income tax rates, get $100 million more for the school budget. What about the people who really pay the taxes that run this state? What about getting rid of the stupid grocery tax that hurts the middle class and the lower income families just as badly as the gas tax? I haven't heard a bloody word about that. All I hear from the legislature is higher fees and higher taxes. You know, when are the people of Idaho going to go out?
Wait a minute. You know, you're filibustering here. The governor did say that he, in the state of the state, he was going to give us a tax cut.
Where?
Well, I'm going to share it with you coming up here. Let's take a listen. Do we have it, Sweet William? We do.
By now, most of you know that I would like to see further reductions in the marginal tax rates for Idaho individual and corporate income tax to below 7% from their current 7.4%.
Who is he affecting? The highest bracket.
Well, that's you, big money.
That's not me, and it's certainly not the middle and lower income families of this state.
Well, what do they really contribute?
Well, they contribute 90% of the taxes, I'll tell you that.
Well, then they're going to pay.
Well, yes, they are going to pay, and it's unfortunate. Maybe the next time people go to the polls, they'll read the resumes first.
Well, you had your chance.
What do you mean I had my chance?
You had your chance in this election. It didn't play out. People have voted for the governor. They voted for they brought back the cronies, and there you have it.
Well, I don't know what you have to do to educate people. Maybe I have to hold courses in civics. Maybe that would help.
Well, maybe when they get their tax bill.
Then when they get the tax bill, that's going to wake them up.
Tea
Kevin,
Party,
thanks
Bob.
Again for everything you do, brother.
Gem State Patriot, new edition out, gemstatepatriot.com. Thank you.
Take care, my friend.
Thank you. All right, we go to Mrs. Pro-Life about the comments of Judge Roy Moore.
Yes, I'm so glad you had him. You had that on there because he is so right. We're just so ignorant about our Constitution anymore, and I think that what he said was so true that, you know, judges can't make law. We're just allowing it to happen. It's pretty ridiculous. And, you know, and talking about the jurisdiction between federal and state governments, I mean, jurisdiction is that, you know, criminal law should be only in the states, and federal government shouldn't have anything to do with that. But, you know, here we go again. Or sexual laws or any of those, you know, there's so many laws that it should be only the jurisdiction of the state. The governor should realize that and say, hey, this is our jurisdiction. Forget you. We're not going to court over this. So, I don't know. It's pretty ridiculous that we don't go by our Constitution. It's getting pretty old.
Look, take a look at the president. People get killed, the Christians and everything else, and what does he do?
Well, I see the Republicans and the Democrats not following the Constitution, so, I mean, what choice is there?
Look, we just want to get along and get elected and reelected, you know?
That's right. Selfishness is the problem. You know, we will destroy our Constitution over selfishness.
Well, thank you for that uplifting thought today.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
All right, let's go to John in Boise with Kevin Miller. Good morning, John.
This is John, yeah. I have a comment about the road construction and the proposed gas tax.
The crumbling roads and bridges, yes.
Yes. I have a commute that takes me through the 5 mile between Fairview and Emerald stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And I have watched them tear up a road that was in perfectly good shape, two-lane road, and take about 6 months and who knows how many millions of dollars to rebuild the road. And now every time I pull out on that road, there's two lanes occupied by cars. So they have a four-lane, almost like a small freeway, and there's still two lanes being used. And every time I would drive up and down that road while the construction is going on, I see four guys in their yellow coats, orange coats, whatever, three guys with the shovel in their hand, and they're standing around looking at a hole saying, yeah, well, we could do this. And I see them having their safety meetings for like 45 minutes out there doing nothing. They tear up the lane. They lay down two lanes. They tear up the other lane. They lay down two lanes. They throw away all the asphalt that was in perfectly good shape. Now we have a small little freeway going up 5 mile, and there's two lanes being used. So how many millions of dollars did it take for them to do that?
Well, you got to employ those folks. You know, we're working for them, not the other way around.
Like, they're making like 25 to 30 an hour.
Full benefits, nice pension, good times.
Guys, you got your safety guys standing around in their orange suits, just directing traffic, standing there doing nothing all day. Half the time I go by, I see one guy on his cell phone, another guy with a shovel in his hand, two guys watching him dig a hole. And the equipment, oh my gosh, can you imagine the rental on those equipment that are going up and down the road, those ditch diggers, the excavators?
It's crazy. And so are we led to believe that we haven't done anything for our roads in how many years? What about the money that is going? We have a $262 million shortfall, and now we're supposed to trust the government that this time we're going to put the money where it should be.
Okay, Kevin, you could look into how much did it cost them to build that one-mile stretch from Fairview to Emerald on 5 mile. Of course, they had to put in all the spy cameras. You know, they've got spy cameras at every corner,
right,
watching you all the time. And so why did they have to do that? Because nobody's driving the road. I mean, it's still just two lanes as far as people traveling up and down it.
John, you make a lot of sense for me. Maybe you should run for office.
No, I think I'm going to get a job in construction. I'll be a flagger.
Take care, sir.
All right.
You know, and we laugh about this, but, you know, perhaps we should actually do a blog here, because here's a new one. Do we really live in a conservative state? We live in a Republican state, but is it conservative? This just in from Channel 7. A proposal is on the table in the Idaho legislature to increase the sales tax from 6% to 7%. Now, is it in Oregon where they don't have the sales tax? Is that right? Oregon doesn't have a state sales tax? So Oregon, pretty big libs, if you will. How can the liberal state not have a sales tax? And in Idaho, we're thinking about raising ours to 7. Let's talk. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
And Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Coming up, more debate on the gas tax. We're joined by our friend Jesse from the American Red Cross. Good morning, Jesse.
Good morning, Kevin.
So what's going on?
Well, I have to tell you, I'm real excited to talk to your listeners because I go out and recruit blood donors every day. And I have to tell you, I'm kind of sad. You know, I realize nobody really wants to donate blood. They don't want a needle in their arm. But it is so important to maintain a stable blood supply in our area in case you or anyone you know and love, your mom, your sister, whatever, needs blood. We need to make sure it's there for them. And we cannot make fake blood. It only comes from donors.
Can't make true blood, that's for sure.
And I found that, you know what, nobody thinks twice about a blood drive until it becomes personal. and then all of a sudden blood drives are really, really important. Our statistics show that of all the eligible donors in the entire nation, only 5% of eligible donors actually donate. So the need is ongoing. It's constant. Right here in the state of Idaho, we have to collect 240 units of blood every day to meet the needs. And the sad news is we have less than a three-day supply on hand on any given day. So I think education is so important to tell people why we do this and the importance of it. And to let you know, your body, all bodies were designed to do this. You can give we call it a unit, or it's called a pint, which is 2 cups of your blood, and within 56 days, your body will remake that. And so you can do it all over again. And I kind of look at life to think, you know what? If you are so blessed to have a strong, healthy body, you probably should share, because not everybody has a strong, healthy body.
Sure. So if people want to give blood, what can they do?
Well, they can go to our website, which is redcrossblood.org, or they can call in. I find the whole process a little complicated, but anybody can call me anytime, and I will find them a blood drive near them. I realize some of your listeners are driving, but my number is 860-1359. Now, just like with any other physical activity, you need to prepare your body. I usually don't wake up and say, think I'll run a 26-mile marathon today without preparing my body. So there's important things to prepare your body, and that is to the day before and the day of, you need to drink a lot of water. Water, 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 so important. And you need to eat a big high-protein meal before you donate. The process takes about 45 minutes. From start to finish, the actual blood donation only takes 5 minutes, and you can thank the FDA for all that other stuff. One misnomer that a lot of people don't understand is diabetics can donate. Back in the olden days, they couldn't, but now they can.
Right.
So we're just doing this every day, and it's an uphill battle for us. And I'm out there walking the streets. When I have a blood drive that maybe their schedule isn't full, I'm going business to business recruiting donors. I have three blood drives today in Napa, and there are 4 reps like me, and we've divided up the area, and we all have territories. So it's real important.
Well, Jesse, again, we appreciate that. We urge people to give blood and to help our community, and you always have a great program with the kids at Bora High School.
Oh, you bet we do. We love Bora. Most of our high schools is our larger blood drives, and the kids are so anxious to donate. Now, our law did say that you had to be 17 years old to donate without parental consent, and then the governor did pass a law a couple years ago that said 16-year-olds can now donate, but they do have to have parental consent, and it has to be on our form. The mom and dad can't just write it on a piece of paper. And that has really opened up quite a few donors for us, and the kids just love doing it because it's a real grown-up thing to do. And it makes them feel really good. The day you donate, we want you to take it easy. No working out, no jogging. I tell all the ladies they can't possibly cook dinner that night. They love that.
Right.
And then the next day, all bets are off. You can do whatever you want. So we always need blood donors. So I would like to encourage. And if you're a blood donor, bring someone who's not. And let's spread the word around and get more blood donors. Our donor base has been dwindling every year. Kevin, literally, my Napa community blood drive, we used to go 5 times a year, 100 units every time. Then we dropped it to 85. Then we had to drop it to 65. Then 45. We're down to 40 units of blood at those blood drives. And that's really sad.
Well, we've got to pick it up. But Jesse, one more time, how can people give blood?
They can go to our website, which is redcrossblood.org, kind of navigate around, or they can call me at 860-1359.
Jesse, keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kevin.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. Liberal Steve joins us now at 580KIDO.
Hey, can you donate your blood if you're a medical marijuana user? Or a heavy Jack Daniels drinker, or maybe a Budweiser guy, can you still give blood? Is that okay to have all that in your system and go going into storage, and or if you're on antidepressants or Ritalin or all these other pharmaceuticals out there, is it okay?
Are you asking because that's a description of what you ingest?
I thought you would know the answer to that, or your guest would know the answer to that. I mean, and why don't they make it mandatory? Why doesn't the governor just sign something into place that says every citizen of Idaho every 2 months has to give a pint of blood if they're over the age 18 or over? Make it mandatory. Use that executive pen.
Is there a method to this, or is this just you running off at the mouth?
You can't float the Boise River unless you have a pass that shows you donated blood that month. That's how you get blood, or you start a rumor mill.
Thank goodness you're not running for office.
Hey, I got a question.
I think we've covered the blood.
The
Go ahead.
Tax,
let's move on.
The gas tax. Come on. They're going to add a penny to that every year that's passed, and everybody knew that the governor was going to push this gas tax as soon as he got in. But they all went back out and voted.
Wait a minute. Why didn't somebody who was running for office, whether it was Senator Fulcher, whether it was Mr. Blukoff, Mr. Bujak, you didn't run for office, pro-life, Harley Brown, Walt from Emmett, why didn't someone say, will you promise not to raise the gas tax? Nobody did that. Nobody did that in those debates. You know who talked about it? Kevin Miller.
Well, yeah, Kevin Miller did. But it was also brought up in the debates. And I will find
where
the governor was asked that.
I watched every debate, sir.
Something about the deteriorating roads. Mm-hmm. And what roads are
deteriorating? We're going to pay someone to fix the roads and then break the roads and then fix the roads. And then my favorite is, do we really need someone to hold up a sign that says stop?
I really don't give a hoot about any roads.
Watch your mouth,
Jim,
buddy.
Ada, Canyon County.
Watch
Who
your
cares
mouth.
About those roads? 80%.
You keep it in, zip it.
What'd I say? Enough
you're,
of that.
You're getting close to the line, buddy.
80% of the transportation is right here in the southwest corner. 80% of the population.
I've said that it really doesn't matter about the rest of the state. We should just, this is the state of Idaho here, the Treasure Valley.
Yeah, this is a state of insanity.
You need to start agreeing if you want to stay longer. 8:50, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO, time for traffic.
Treasure Valley's exclusive home for Kevin Miller. KIDOAM.com, 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
So getting back to the big question, there are a couple of them. If you're just waking up, just rolling, getting ready for Glenn Beck, this is one soundbite we've been sharing with you all morning long.
And it's currently an open season, a time where it's an open season against Islam, Muslims in Washington, Muslims in the general media, dehumanizing Muslims in movies like American Sniper.
There we have it. Everyone I know that's seen the movie American Sniper raves about how patriotic it is, how it looks at the real-life struggles of Chris Kyle, how it examines what it's like to come home after being in that highly stressed combat-induced environment. And now we have this woman who has lost her sister, who happened to be a Muslim, saying there's a war on Muslims. Of course, the administration, through their actions, I think it would be the exact opposite. We have 21 Christians, Egyptian Christians, killed that were kidnapped from Libya by ISIS. They were called crusaders. They said to the nation of the cross. ISIS showed the video. 21 Christians that caused no harm were slain, and our White House, our administration, called them Egyptian citizens. You know what that is? That's a sign that we're not going to hold these folks accountable, and some critics of the president would rightly say, I guess killing Christians doesn't matter. The Pope was outraged. Why wasn't the president
imagine. We hear the outrage of folks talking about the killings in North Carolina. By the way, that happened to be over a traffic accident, a traffic thing, not because of somebody's faith. And yet, at 580KIDO, we have an administration that willingly allows the Syrians to kill Christians, allows the Iraqis to kill Christians, ISIS to call him out as a coward, and he's going to have a summit for 3 days on violent extremism. And even the attorney general, when he's not circumventing the law, says, I won't say we're at war with radical Islam. Remember what the president said. He doesn't want America to lead from the front. We are truly leading from behind now. The world needs you. The world needs more prayer. Now more than ever, that we have someone besides Judge Roy Moore to say no and to stand up for these folks. Right? Let's get you to traffic 8:59, Kevin Miller in the morning. Don't forget, all week we'll be covering the gun issue. You want to head out to the Grove on Saturday at 3:30. The Idaho Second Amendment Alliance will have their annual march. Is constitutional carry dead, or will it live and be signed by the governor? Stay tuned. Good day. God bless. Keep the faith.